Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2 verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio, Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we are so grateful for this year that we have stepped into, and our hearts are poised to hear your word, to hear your voice, to do that which you have for us this year. Open your scriptures to us today that we may receive that which you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of God's Hidden Treasures that we'll discover today is, What's Shaken? We used to do that kind of greeting, you know, back in the day when people did that. People would come up to go, what's new? And I'd always say, nothing under the sun. They'd say, what's shaken? And I'd say, the house in which they were assembled. I was kind of obnoxious, but I thought it was funny. Anyway, today our title is, What's Shaken? Last week, as you know, we started the year, and so we kind of wanted to look at the word for the year and for the essence of newness and what that would require for us and what we were setting our hearts for there to be for this year. This time, as we begin to kind of put our toes in the water for 2016, I want us to look at the foundation on which we are building. Foundation is always important. January and how we start the year really is the foundation for that year. And I'm not just, again, as we said last time, there were people who needed healing. Our hearts have been broken over hopes that have been not fulfilled so far, and that Jesus is the healer of those broken hearts. So I want to look at our foundations today and where God wants to position us for this year. I want us to turn to the book of Acts. This will be a little bit simpler. I won't give you too much Greek today, okay? As a matter of fact, I would say none. But I just want to tell this story as it shows it and see how can we apply that in our lives. It was something that I saw that was very meaningful to me, because as I said the time before, sometimes we just feel stuck. We feel like we want more, we want bigger, we want better, we want truer, we want more, but we're just stuck and we don't know how to get unstuck. Okay, so in the book of Acts, we're looking at chapter 16. A familiar passage to you, I'm sure. But Paul and Silas were brought before the magistrates, and they were accused of being troublemakers. and teaching customs and that they shouldn't observe, and the multitude rose up against them. The magistrates commanded that they be beaten. Everybody said, oh, well, God got them out of the prison. Well, most of us want God to get us out of the prison, but we don't want to endure the beatings. We're too busy. But God, why did you let this happen? Sometimes, you know, something that can look so ill is really minor in comparison to the end that God has for us. But we don't even want to go through what we have to go through to get to the deliverance that he has for us. Anyway, they laid many stripes on them. And some people just cry, oh, why did God let this happen? Why did he let that happen? Well, I figure if there was anybody he was going to let skate through without any trouble, Paul would be one of them. So would Peter. So would be Jesus. But unfortunately, even those when God brings a great deliverance to us, sometimes the beginning of it has some things that we don't understand. But remember what Paul said. He talked about that, and he said that, for I reckon the sufferings of this time are not to be compared. The light sufferings, he did not count those things as a big deal. Anyway, they laid many stripes on him, verse 23, and they cast them into prison. Now look at this part. It says, charging the jailer to keep them safely. We understand... We understand that the scripture, and of course it was spoken of Jesus, but it's also spoken of us, that God has given his angels charge concerning us, that to keep us safe. And so there's a charge given to the angels, but this was given to the captain of the prison, and he was told to keep them safe. I find this really interesting, that the jailer was told to keep them safe. Sometimes we rail against where we are because it feels so uncomfortable. We don't like being thrown into prison. And that certainly is metaphorical, although you may have been thrown in prison otherwise. But these guys were thrown in prison, and it says that their adversaries had given the jailer charge concerning them, that he should keep them safely. The reason this catches my attention, remember we look at the details, that often in the details that seem a little bit out of place, we see God's handiwork, we see that pattern, we see those truths emerging. In the prison, the enemy put them there, the enemy put a jailer over them. This jailer was not their friend. This jailer was not their buddy. This jailer did not believe in Jesus. This jailer was out only to keep them locked up. Now, you'd think that would define your enemy, except look at it. His charge was to keep them safe. Think about it. Had they been out in the crowd, who knows? The crowd could have stoned them. Sometimes it looks like that God has given us over to the hand of our adversary, but many times he has a plan there. And look at that. It was not the angels that were given charge to keep him safe. It was their own enemy. Sometimes that where we are, God has a plan, and even those that look like they're there to oppose you may have a charge for your own good, for your own safety. Okay, moving along. Verse 24. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Okay, so here are these two guys. Neither one of them are soldiers, remember. One's a relatively old man. Neither one of them have a great deal of physical prowess compared to a soldier. And here they are, not just in the prison, but in the inner prison. Now, that means like solitary confinement, okay? There's no window. Now, remember that. And as well as being locked in that cell, they were then chained to the wall, okay? Their feet were chained into stocks. Now, this becomes interesting because you would think these two guys are not that big a threat. Why don't you just lock them in a cell? Nope, not good enough. We have to lock them in an inner cell. Okay, that's not good enough. I don't know how they were going to break out through the whole jail, but even in the inner cell, he put them in stocks. Sometimes it seems like the enemy has overdone in keeping you stiff, in keeping you captured, in keeping you, you know, chained down. But God's not done yet. I mean, this is how serious this jailer took his charge. But here comes the interesting thing, because remember I said, just remember those three things, in the prison, in the inner cell, and chained. All right. Verse 25 and 26 are our two verses that we really want to focus on, basically on 26. But on 25 it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Well, neither one of them had a Rolex. Neither one of them had a Rolex. Neither one of them had a Timex. Neither one of them had their cell phone that had the clock on it. You know what I'm saying? How do we know it was midnight? Well, basically in that era, okay, in the daytime they could have had sundials, right? But at midnight is in the middle of the night, right? It's in the middle of the darkness, but they didn't even have a window to be able to tell time by the stars. The positioning of the stars didn't even help them. How do we know it was midnight? That's one of those little details. Why did God put that in there? He could have just said in the nighttime, and that would have been fine. As far as Paul and Silas knew, it was just sometime in the nighttime. They had no idea exactly when it was. Of course, they also used the sand clocks, you know, to turn over to tell time. But that would have been like in the king's house. I doubt that every prison room was equipped with a timepiece of any kind. If they had no way of knowing it was midnight, why did God put that in there? I want to begin to teach you to ask these questions. When you ask questions of the scripture, that's when you begin to find answers. What's really important, and I'm going to start a series on that. I thought I would today, but I think we're going to hold off on that because I want us to first lay this foundation and that word of encouragement for you as you start 2016. But we will get to a series of questions in the Bible. It is so powerful, the questions in the Bible. Far more powerful than the words that God speaks to us are the questions we ask ourselves. And God many times doesn't give us a straight answer. He asks us a question. I won't give you spoilers on this. I'll wait till we start that series. But I think you're going to be pleased with it. Anyway, so here is Paul and Silas sometime in the nighttime. We know it's midnight. They do not know it's midnight. What are they doing? They are praying and they're singing hymns. They are singing hymns and they are praying. Now, I've heard this preached a lot of times, and I'm sure so have you, where, oh, they prayed all night long. That's how they take midnight. They prayed and they sang praises all night long. It doesn't say sang praises. It says sang hymns. That's maybe praises, may not be praises. And they prayed. Now, here's my question. Where in there does it say they did that all night long? They could have awakened at 11:55, began to pray, and began to sing, and this was all done by 12:05. I'm not saying that's happened, but we can't take it for granted. It doesn't say all night. It says at midnight. Why does God have that in there? Well, let's go on and read the rest of our two verses, and then we'll go back to them. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. I take that back. It does say praises in King James. In other ones, it says sang hymns. So I didn't take time to look that one up. But anyway, they were singing praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. There's a great deal of significance in that heard them. These men are locked up in prison. They've done things wrong, but they could hear that. Many times we have no idea who has their, and it gives the essence of that heard is it like their attention was fixated on it. If it were like seeing, it'd be like staring. It's this riveted attention to their prayers and singing. Many times when we go through something, we have no idea who else is watching us. And the other thing is sometimes we complain about what we go through, not realizing that sometimes it isn't even just about us. This is not new to you. You know that the jailer comes to know the Lord. You also know that even, I don't think it says it explicitly, but many of those prisoners had to come to know the Lord. Perhaps some of them were already Christians and they were ready to give up. They were in despair. They were despondent. And what happened? They hear those prayers. They hear that singing and their heart is renewed. A lot of times we have no idea. One of the scriptures, you know how you read it and read it and read it and it all of a sudden one time it jumps out at you. I was reading about Jesus in the storm. When he was in the boat and there was the big storm, and all of a sudden, and of course I'd read it a bucket load of times, but I saw, and it said, and there were many little ships with them. Jesus could have survived the storm, but he calmed the storm. It isn't just about him. There were many little ships with him. And that's how it is with us. Just the same as I'd read it, but I'd never seen that. Well, many times in our life, we go through something and we think it's only affecting us. We have no idea who is listening, who is watching, who else's lives are affected, even those who appear to be against us, like the jailer. So the other prisoners heard them, and suddenly, there are things that we wait and wait and wait for, but when they come suddenly. And that's an exciting, exciting thought, that even if it seems like something is delayed a long time, when it comes, it might just come suddenly. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. So those are two verses. Now we're going to look at them for a little bit. We've talked about this thing at midnight, that whatever this marvelous thing is that happens, this great deliverance that happens, it happened at midnight. Well, we just went through the winter solstice, which means the longest night of the year, the shortest day. And I talked to you a couple of times ago about it also being the in nature, the image of hope. That when we're at the longest point of despair, then it shifts. Well, that's what midnight is. You know, the Jewish timepiece started from evening to evening. Many people, I believe the Egyptians, started from morning to morning. Only us crazy folk have our day start in the middle of the night. From midnight to midnight is a 24-hour period. So let's look at this artificial midnight. What does that say to us? Midnight. What is midnight? Midnight is at the depth of the darkness. Midnight is at the depth of the quiet. If you know, listen in your house at midnight, it's quiet. Everybody's sleeping. The traffic outside isn't going. Midnight is the quietest time. It is the darkest time. Many times it's the loneliest time. Many times it's the scariest time. You know, we'll get to Daniel sometime. But remember, Daniel spent the night in the lion's den. I don't know about you, but for me, when I have trouble sleeping, it's the lions that come out in the nighttime. You know, it wasn't spending the day with the lions, it's spending the night with the lions. All these things happen at midnight. But what happens at midnight? Literally, at midnight is the moment when night becomes day, when yesterday becomes tomorrow. You could have been chained up, bound up, locked up yesterday, but all of a sudden it's midnight, and yesterday becomes tomorrow. Despair becomes hope. Discouragement becomes encouragement. These things happen. There's one tipping point. It isn't that they sang all night long, but they happened to be praying and singing when that which was changes to what? That which will come. That which has been changes to that which will be. At midnight, when the old is passed away and the new begins. Remember, we just went through New Year's, and everybody, at least everybody younger than me, stayed up until midnight. Why? Because that moment before, at 11:59, it was still 2015. But at 12:01, it's 2016. 60 seconds only may go by. 90 seconds may go by. But it is a brand new thing. They were at that point when it was the darkest, it was the saddest, it was the scariest, it was the loneliest, it was the most discouraging. And all of a sudden, hope is there. A new day is there. Tomorrow is there. At midnight, they sang and prayed. And suddenly, God moves in, doesn't he? And God, and I'll tell you how we think of this. Most of us assume that they were praying, God, open the doors. God, open the doors. And most of us are like that. Well, we pray, we say, God, open doors for me. Open doors in ministry, or open doors in finances, or open doors with my family, or open doors. We pray for open doors. We don't know what they prayed for, and they may have been praying for open doors as far as we know. But two things happened. Okay, they got the open doors, but what if they had only had open doors? Could they have walked through the door? No, that's the illusion of it all. If you, the door is open, if you're chained in the stocks, if you're chained to the wall, you can't go. Too many of us see an open door, and somehow that we will use, you know, open doors as a symbol of opportunity. We get excited as though somehow that open door is that opportunity for us. But watch this. If the chains are still on your feet, if the chains are still on your ankles, then you can't walk through that open door, can you? Your feet are chained up. What we need from God is not just open doors, is an opportunity, but we need the chains to fall off. What are the chains? What chains us? Well, a lot of times it's our mindset. We have chains in our mind. We have chains in our thinking. We have chains on our outlook. And so you can get that great opportunity, but if your mindset hasn't changed, then you're still stuck. I'll give you a quick example. Let's say you're unemployed. You lost your job. And I know this wouldn't be anybody here, but you basically lost your job because you'd always tangle with your boss, right? So you go home and you're unemployed and you do everything you can and you pray. And all of a sudden a door opens and you get an opportunity for a new job. Isn't that exciting? Yes, it is. Except if you are still chained, held by that mindset that you had before, even though you have a new opportunity, what will happen? If you still have the same lousy work habits and you come late and you have the same lousy, unchristian attitude, always quarreling with everybody, disagreeing with everybody, demanding things your way, if you have that same mindset that has chained you, then what can we say to that? You are still going to end up losing your job, aren't you? Because just because you have a new opportunity, if you don't also get, if the door only opens but you don't have the chains to fall off, you will never get all of the, you will never walk through that door, will you? No, not indeed. So the great thing that happened at this moment is that the doors flew open and the chains fell off. But watch it. It wasn't just one door that flew open. and one set of chains that fell off. They all did. Most of us just have a little view, if I can just have this one little opportunity. But when we are in that place with God, it opens doors for everyone. It opens doors for all of us. It opens doors for people who weren't even praying. There's a shift in thinking. There's a shift in society. There's a shift in the air. Not just your chains fall off, but other people's chains fall off. That's how powerful what happened. Well, at this point, we'd all go, woo, and we'd all be excited and glad over that. But what I want to ask you is, what happened? They prayed, but what happened? Oh, well, God opened the doors and God had the chains fall off. No. If you will look at this, and this is what I want you to get today, that while they were praying, God moved. But what did God do? Now, I want you to remember where they are. They're in this prison. But prisons are man-made. God doesn't have any prisons. The prisons are man-made. Remember, we talked last week about how the things that Jesus said, we'll have to get to that sometime, when he opened his ministry, quoting out of Isaiah 61, and it's in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to do several things. And one of them is to set the prisoner free. There's no mandate in there to lock up bad folk. God is here to set even the prisoners free. Now, he talks about two things in there. He talks about the person who is bound, and he talks about the prisoner. They look like they're almost the same thing, but they aren't. If you're been bound up, it might be because you were kidnapped. In essence, through no fault of your own, you're held because of something else. And many times we understand that. We may not have been the perpetrator. We may have been in a home that was filled with violence or filled with alcohol or filled with just all kinds of things that we inherited. We didn't do it, but we inherited it, didn't we? We're bound by those things. We're being kidnapped. It can even be in your genes. Maybe you've not done, you know, anything wrong in that sense, but you have diseases and you have genetic things that are your fate, okay? So it is with those who are bound. But the other thing is the prisoner. He also came. He came to set the captive free. When if you're a captive, you've been captured, haven't you? So it isn't that you necessarily did anything wrong, but you've been captured. The other thing he did was to set the prisoner free. Well, if you're a prisoner, most of the time you're there because you did something wrong. People in prison are there because they've committed wrong. I'm not saying all the time, but most of the time if they're there, their own volition. The beautiful thing about that passage when Jesus opens his ministry and he describes what he is there to do, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to do these things. He makes no distinction between those of us who've been captured, you know, innocently, I'll say, and those of us who are in our prisons because of what we have done. He doesn't care. Fresca poison, it's all the same to him. He is the one that has come to set everyone free. But the prisons are man-made. And many times we've built our own prisons. You know, we have constructed structures around us, structures of thought, structures of behavior, structures of attitude. We have built walls around us to keep people out or to keep us in. The prison was of man's making. And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing in the beginning. Sometimes you are in a place of where you are because at the time it was necessary. It kept you safe. It kept you free from something. But there comes a time when it's no longer just a haven. It's no longer just to keep you safe. What is it? It is a prison who locks you away. But that's of man's making. God did not open the doors. God did not loose the chains. God did one thing, and maybe this will kind of, this kind of revolutionized the way I thought. You know, we always pray for this. God do this, God do that, God I need this, God I need that. There only, when God moved, he didn't do all those individual things. He did one thing. He did one thing. What was it? He sent an earthquake. And that earthquake did what? Shook the foundations and brought the man-made prison down. Many times in our life, when we need God to move, we need to be set free. We need to be loosened from where we are. We need a change in our life, in our environment. We need a change in our circumstance. And we pray God will do something. And what he does is he sends an earthquake that does what? Shakes our foundation. And it shakes it and it shakes it and it shakes it. And sometimes then it all comes crumbling down. God does not just pick and choose these things. What we need is for God to come in 2016 and shake our foundation. But I'll tell you seriously, don't pray that prayer unless you mean it. You don't want to say, oh God, shake my foundations, unless you're ready. I remember one time I prayed this prayer. Oh gosh, I was silly. I was looking in the Word and I said, oh God, I felt like a freeloader. I don't want to just live off your grace. I want to live off of faith. I want faith, God. I don't want to just be carried along. I was, you know, like the Israelites eating the manna every day, you know. Oh, there was a day the manna ceased. They went in and they tended their own gardens. And God, I don't want to just be living off your grace. And I obviously got at one point said, okay, fine. Then I was no longer living off of grace. I was living off of faith. And I found out how little in my life was off of faith and how much of my life was out of grace. Everything kind of crumbled down and it's like, okay, this is what it is, what is just your faith. And I learned to trust that and I learned to grow. And when I finally kind of got out of that, I thought, I am grateful for your grace. I'm never outgrowing your grace. But there are times what God does is shake our foundation because he has something he wants to change in us. And when he does, it all changes. It's not just, you know, it's not just the doors, or just our doors or our chains, but everything shakes. Everything comes tumbling down. And this is what God does it for these two. And maybe that's something you want to think about for 2016. That when we pray and we just say, God, I'm ready for you to shake the foundations of my life. Anything that is not of you. Remember, the scripture says that anything that's built on him cannot be shaken. So anything that he shakes and it comes down, that wasn't of him anyway. So, you know, I can do without it. Anyway, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. That is what God did for them. In one motion, he sent an earthquake that profoundly changed things. All he did. And so sometimes I think in my life, instead of praying specifically, I'm just, when I feel up to it, and I think 2016 is a time to feel up to it, I say, God, shake my foundations. Shake my foundations. Because I know that whatever comes of that, the only things that will come down, that even if originally they kept me safe, it's time for them to come down. Amen? It's time for us to walk in that liberty he has, not just the open doors, but for the chains to fall off my mind, the chains to fall off my character, the things that have held me back and held me down. I had an illusion that I had liberty, but I didn't because I was still chained with those things. Amen. So having received this charge, they were thrust into the inner prison, their feet fast in the stocks, and at midnight. And at midnight. At that time when everything changes from what was to what will be, from the past to the present, from hopelessness to hopefulness. At that point, God, what? He shook, he sent an earthquake and it shook the foundations, and immediately every opportunity and every change of attitude were there for them. Amen. As we head into this new year, I want you just to be thinking about Paul and Silas and looking at you in your life. Maybe your set of friends, they were good for you at one time because they were a little safety net around you. You weren't alone. But maybe sometimes it's time to shake that foundation. Maybe your attitudes toward things, maybe whatever it is, you may not even know what it is. But ask God to shake those things that need to be broken off of you and to set us on that foundation that cannot be shaken. Set us at liberty. So when we say, what's shaken? What is the answer? It's the foundations of the prison. That's what's shaking. My prayer for you in the year 2016 is that every foundation that is not of God or whose time has passed. You know, there are times the things that were okay for a while, but those things may be shaken. And when they are, that you be released into a new freedom, into a new liberty. That this be the time, this be the hour, that everything that has been, that was not what it should be, will change. This is the hour of change. Midnight is the hour of change. May change come to your life. May change come to your opportunities. May change come to your attitudes. In this time, in this hour, even if it was a place of safety and comfort before, or even if it seemed harsh, even if it seemed hard and restraining, but it was there to keep you until this hour. If you have the courage, pray with me that God shake our foundations. Amen. Gracious and everlasting Lord, we thank you that you have built around us and underneath us everything we need to bring us to this point. And so we ask you now and we loose you in our lives to shake every foundation that can be shaken. That God, we truly walk into liberty and freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for taking your time with us today, and that this may be your greatest move forward that you've had. We look forward to hearing from you and look forward to being together next week. Same time, same place, different word. What's shaken? Amen. Amen.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy all of the Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. And the broadcasts are as follows. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime. That's 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is aired on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the God in the Mist broadcast is aired every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you get an opportunity, please go to the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Midst website and listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's online archives. While you're on the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Midst website, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at Get 'Em Radio, that's GITM Radio, at gmail.com, or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.